just want to read to you from Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. There's two baptisms. There's the baptism of the Lord Jesus, but there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of fire. It comes through the laying on of hands. It says in verse 18, when Simon, who was a sorcerer, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You can't box up the gift of God. You can't bag it up. You can't contain it. You can't buy it. But there's something when we come into the presence of the living God that we just want it. We want to control it. We want to hold on to it. We want power over it. You can't have power over it. You can't control it. The church has tried to box up the power of God and say, no, we can control it. We can manipulate it. We can use it how we want. He's uncontainable. He's unpurchasable. You can't buy him. You can't control him. You can't manipulate him. He's outside of every plan you try to make, every method you try to produce out of your own power, everything you keep doing and you keep trying to control and box him up. You can't box him up. Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Lord, let our hearts get right today. Repent, therefore. Pastor Steph said it today. If you need to repent today, repent. It might be about control. There might be something you've been trying to control and hold on to. And because you don't want to give it up. You don't want to trust the Lord with it. And he's saying, no. Just repent and trust me today. Repent therefore of this, your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Lord, may the thoughts of our heart be forgiven today. You didn't say it out loud, but in your heart you thought it. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. If there's bitterness and iniquity today, let it flee in the name of Jesus. Let it go. Let it be healed today. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. He repented. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that you would do a work again today. Lord, we just keep coming back day after day. And we just catch these glimpses of you moving and working. And there's moments where we feel the joy of being in the river of your presence. And we just want to hold on to that. And we try to box it up and contain it. But Lord, I just pray that we would just stay in the flow today. That we wouldn't try to contain you, that we wouldn't try to control you, that we wouldn't try to replicate you, but that we would just be content in your presence today and what you want to do. Lord, that where there's bitterness, where there's bitterness and iniquity, that you would heal our hearts, that you would heal our minds, that you would heal our bodies, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We submit to you. We repent. We turn back to you. Father, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. By your blood, Jesus. Amen. Psalm 1 says this: Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Who do you sit with? Who do you stand with? Who do you walk with? If you want notes, if you want to see scriptures that we're going through today, you can text Rev Notes to the number 94,000. All one word, Rev Notes, R-E-V Notes. You'll get most of the scriptures we got up here. Deuteronomy 29, verse 14. We were in this passage last week, and I felt like we were supposed to go back there for a moment today. Deuteronomy 29, verse 14 says this: I make this covenant and this oath not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations, their idols which were among them, wood and stone, silver and gold. So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Not even a root of bitterness or wormwood. Where's a root? A root is underneath the ground. Above the ground, it might appear like you're a tree full of righteousness. It might appear that you're like one of these trees that David describes in Psalm 1, that you're producing good fruit, that there's good things coming out of your life. But if there's even a root of bitterness, eventually the root will affect the whole tree. It will change the tree. And so you might think, oh, no, the fruit is fine, but the root is bad. If the root is bad, eventually the fruit will go bad. The fruit will follow the root. There you go. The fruit will follow the root. You're taking notes today. Write that down. You're making t-shirts today. Make a shirt out of that. Brennan, there you go. There's another shirt. The fruit will follow the root. Listen to it. Listen to the word. Don't let there be any bitterness today. Lord, I repent. I repent because I sat this week in moments, in conversations, where there was just a little bit of bitterness. So I just repent because I just sat in it. And I should have changed the direction. But I just sat and I listened. Maybe you were there today. Maybe you were there this morning getting ready for church and there was just a little bit of bitterness. All it takes is repentance. Repentance is just saying, Lord, I was going the wrong way. I want to go your way. That's it. And maybe who you've been sitting with, maybe there's just some bitterness. Let me tell you something. Bitterness is like a cold. It jumps. It'll just jump on you. And before you know it, you were just sitting listening and hearing about bitterness. And all of a sudden, it becomes easy for you to start talking about things you're bitter about, things you're angry about, things that you feel like I've been wronged on, things didn't go the way I wanted them to go, things don't look the way I thought they should look right now in my life. And then what do you start to do? You start to look for companions that'll be bitter with you. Because it feels bitter, it feels bitter. It feels better to not be bitter alone. Bitterness always seeks company. Did you let a little bit of bitterness creep in this week? Even just a little bit. You want to just excuse it and say, it's just a little bit. But don't let it happen. Verse 19, so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart. There's a blessing and a curse. Some of us, we hear that there's a curse, but then we just bless ourselves in our heart. That's what we do. We bless ourselves in our heart saying, well, yeah, some people are bitter, but not me. I'm going to have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. Do you follow the word or do you follow your heart? Do you follow your feelings? Do you follow your emotions? The heart is deceitful above all things. Be careful what you follow. Are you following the word or are you following the dictates of your heart? Are you following your feelings? We say this a lot. Pastor Andrew, I believe, said it today. Choices lead, feelings follow. You don't always feel good about following the word of God. You don't always feel good about standing for what the word says. Because there's a lot of things in here that are offensive to the world. There's a lot of things in here, when you begin to stand on them, you're going to see there's a lot of anger that begins to get projected towards you. Understand that the battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the unseen powers of this world. There are unholy, unclean spirits that are at work. There's a Holy Spirit, and then there are unholy spirits. They're demonic spirits. And they'll begin to fling arrows at you. They'll begin to come after you. Because what? Because bitterness wants company. Because bitterness wants you to sink down to their level. That's what these devils do. That's what these devils cling on to. They want to pull you back down to where they live. And so we begin to justify in our heart, well, it's okay, I was just venting. Some of you were bitter this week, and you just talked a little bit about it to your husband, to your wife, to your friend, to your brother, to your sister. And you just say, well, I just needed to vent a little bit. I just had to get it off my chest. You thought what you were getting off your chest actually got into your heart. You thought you were getting it off your chest. You just put it into your heart. Because what you speak changes your heart. Somebody needed that right there. What you're speaking, it's coming right out and it's going right back in. Your words will make your world. Your words will make the world you live in. If you're speaking bitterness, you're going to live in a bitter world. You're going to be surrounded by bitter people. You're going to be surrounded by bitterness. You're going to be surrounded by anger. You're going to be surrounded by wrath. And what's going to happen? The curse is going to come upon you, even though you keep saying within yourself, oh, no, I've got peace. That was for somebody else. That word that the pastor said today, that wasn't for me because I've got peace. I can speak like this because my therapist told me to. I rebuke your therapist in the name of Jesus. Get out of here. I'm sorry, but too many of us keep relying on therapists and counselors, and you forget you got the Holy Counselor living inside of you. You got Jesus Christ living inside of you, and he speaks a better word. The blood speaks a better word, and he wants to change and transform your life today. So stop living by the words of that counselor that just tells you what you want to hear. Oh, yeah, your husband's the problem. Oh, yeah, your wife's the problem. No, counselor, you're the problem. Get out in the name of Jesus. Oh, this is your office? Okay, I'm leaving. See ya. By the way, I want a refund. I'm sorry, there's some great godly counselors out there. You can sit in the council of the righteous. But there's also a lot out there that are just taking people's money and telling them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. I did a wedding on Friday night. I said some things that some brides probably would have walked out on. Why? Because it's in the word. Husbands, lead your wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as if submitting yourselves to Christ the Lord. Because guess what? If the church is the bride and Jesus is the groom, and wives, who are you? You're the bride. And husbands, who are you? You're the groom. Church, do we tell Jesus how to run his church? No, we submit. We submit to his voice. Ladies, there's too many of you in here that are trying to tell your husbands how to run the house. Trust your husbands. Trust your husbands. Some of you, you're married to men that you're saying, Pastor, you don't understand. They're not godly. They don't follow the Lord. They don't love the Lord. Begin to speak life over them. Begin to prophesy over them. Begin to speak what you believe that they can become. Begin to speak, even though you don't see it in the natural, begin to speak it in the spiritual. Ladies, begin to speak the truth of God's word over your lives, over their lives, over your marriage. Even though you don't see it, begin to prophesy. Because in a valley of dry bones, when you begin to declare the word of the Lord, what happens to the dry bones? They're dead, they're dried up. But when you speak the word of the Lord, things change. And the bones begin to rattle. And they begin to take shape. And they begin to move. And God puts flesh on them. And so in a valley of dry bones, speak the word today. Speak the word. Over your marriage, over your life, over your friendships. Just begin to speak and declare the word. And I'm telling you, things are going to change. Things are going to shift. Some of you have already seen it happen. Some of you you've been doing it from the beginning. When revival began 4 years ago, this church, it's 4 years old. On April 4th, we turned 4 years old. Praise the Lord. What's year four in the Bible? It's the year when there's fruit being produced. This is a year of fruitfulness. There's fruit being produced. I feel the Holy Spirit coming on so many of you right now. He's hitting you so hard right now. There's fruit being produced. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. Give him the first fruits. In year four, when the trees finally began to produce, when the Israelites had come into the promised land, it said finally in year four, well, the Holy Spirit is coming on so hard today. He's here. He's meeting you. If you feel something, if you feel heat on your body, if you feel a numbness or tingling in your hands, that's the Holy Spirit. You're feeling him today. If you feel a lightness coming on your shoulders, he's taking the yoke of this world off you today. He's freeing you from slavery. He's freeing you from bondage. He's freeing you from Egypt. That was a good word, Pastor Steph. He's getting Egypt out of you today. Let him. Jesus, thank you for how you're moving right now. Thank you for who you just touched right there. Lord, I just feel a lightness coming on to somebody right now, that there's freedom coming on to somebody in this house. Jesus, please just continue to move. If that was you, just speak the name of Jesus. Speak it. Just say it. Say Jesus, Jesus. You don't have to say it loud. Just say it. Just say Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's power of life and death in your tongue. Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Say it. Jesus. Set me free, Jesus. Something just shifted in this room. Somebody came in bound. You just got set free. Speak. The words you speak, it will change. It will shape your world. I felt like I was saying something, but the Lord interrupted, and so I don't know what I was saying anymore. Lord, whatever you want to do today, he wants to meet you here. He wants to meet you in this place. We just submit to him. We submit to his voice. And we speak where he tells us to speak. And we stand on his word. Don't speak lies to yourself anymore. Don't try to bless yourself when you know in your heart you're following your feelings and doing your own desires. It puts you under the curse and not the blessing. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you. That's what the Lord does. Some of you, you're living right now, and you're living in your life, and you feel like I'm cursed. Or maybe you just call it bad luck. You just say, I'm unlucky. I'm bad. It's bad luck. No. It's either a blessing or it's a curse. You're either walking in the blessing or you're walking in the curse. That's it. He lays it before his people. He says, you can choose today the blessing or the curse. He sets it before them. And some of you, you're kind of mad and you're bitter towards God. And God is saying today in this room, no, I'm giving you the option. You don't have to keep going your own way anymore. You don't have to keep trying to do what you want to do. You don't have to keep living out the dictates, the feelings of your heart. You don't have to submit to them. You can submit to me. And when you submit to him, there's a blessing. It's the blessing and the curse. It's set before you today. It's like you come out to your kids and you set two meals right there on the table. And one is, it's filet mignon, it's potatoes, it's corn, it's greens, it's everything that's good for you. And the other one, it's McDonald's. And it looks good, but it's going to kill you. He sets before you the blessing and the curse. That's what he did. And the devil is saying, look at this nice box. There's a prize inside. There's a toy. The toy is cheap. It doesn't last. It doesn't. You know how many McDonald's toys we got laying around our house that I find and I just like, this is broken. This is junk. Where does it go? It ends up in the trash. But my goodness, he set before us today the blessing and the curse. Eat the steak. Eat the bread. Drink the wine. It's better. He's the bread and the wine. You feel like you're not thriving. You feel like you're cursed. You feel like, I'm just unlucky. You're not unlucky. You're cursed. But he's the curse breaker. And that's what he came to do. He became a curse for you on the cross so that you can walk in fullness, so you can walk in the blessing. You don't have to live under the cross anymore. You don't have to live under the curse anymore because we live under the cross. We live at the feet of Jesus who already paid it for us. He set it before you today. Call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Obedience matters. Not to be saved, but because we've been saved, because he's a good father, obey his voice. According to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God had scattered you. You thought you were free living on McDonald's, but you became a slave to it. You became a slave to it, and it is killing you. You're not healthy. You're addicted to it. You're addicted to something in the world, and it is. You thought, I'm just free. I can do what I want. I can live how I want. No, you're a slave to it, but he wants to free you from captivity. It's a choice today. If you will choose Jesus, if you'll choose the blessing, he's going to set you free from things that you thought you could never get free from. He's going to set you free from addiction today. There's somebody that's going to get set free from addiction today, and your life will never be the same. That thing you thought you could never get away from, that you could never give up, he's going to set you free because that's what Jesus does. He takes you out of Egypt, and he takes Egypt out of you. That's what he's doing today. Let him do it. Take a breath. He's good. The Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. What is circumcision? It's a cutting away of the flesh. What's he do to your heart? He's cutting away the flesh. Those things that you've been desiring in the flesh, that you've been hungering for in the flesh, that you become addicted to in the flesh. Food, sex, pornography, lust, desires, that you've been following the feelings of your heart and the feelings of your flesh, and you become a slave to them. Jesus wants to cut that off your heart today. That's what that is. That's what that circumcision is. It's a cutting away of the flesh that you may live. John 10:10, that you may live life to the full. We've got baptisms today. Pastor Steph and I, we've been talking to our kids for a long time about what it means to live for Jesus. They chose today to get into the waters of baptism, to die to their old selves, to be raised new. And one of the things we told them, we grabbed them before service and we went back to our office and we prayed with them. We read scripture over them. And one of the verses that the Lord brought to my mind was John 10:10, that you may live life to the full. Because I didn't understand that. When I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus, it was just insurance for eternity. I didn't want to go to hell someday. But I wanted to live life how I wanted right here, right now. And I kept living life the way I wanted by the dictates of my own heart, by my flesh, by my feelings. And I kept living it out. Even though I got into the waters, I kept living out how I wanted. But the Lord, in his great mercy, in his kindness, in his graciousness, he brought me to a place of repentance. And he's brought me from a place of darkness and addiction and captivity. And he's brought me into a season where I realize I can be filled. I can be baptized in his presence. Through the laying on of hands, through his Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to baptize you in the fullness today so that you can live life to the full and not just start living life when you die and go to heaven. He wants you to experience heaven on earth today. He wants that for you. There's somebody in here today. He wants that for you. He loves you. In Jesus' name, he wants that for you. Oof, we should have got a little more excited about that. Oof. Just give Jesus a hand right here. Give Jesus a hand right there. There you go. There's somebody in here today. You gave your life because you knew, I want to go to heaven someday, but you've been living in hell right here, right now. And he wants to bring you out of hell in this moment. He wants to bring you into heaven. The Holy Spirit is here. Like, he is hitting so hard. My hands are so numb right now. I can't feel a thing because his presence is overwhelming us. Just submit to him. If you want that today, just everybody, just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Put your hands in your lap, face up to heaven right here. Just say, Jesus, I want you. Go ahead, church, right now. Just say, even if you've already been a believer for a long time, you ready? You're going to say it again because we're coming back. You're coming back to the heart of worship. You're coming back to the heart of the Father right now. Just say it. 1, 2, 3. Jesus, I want you. Say it again. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want you. Lord, we want more of you. If you just said that for the first time, just put your hand in the air. You don't have to leave your hands, leave your eyes closed, leave your head down. But if somebody just said that for the very first time, if they just said, Jesus, I want you for the very first time, I need to know if there's somebody we need to be praying for specifically in here. Hey, I'm praying for you. I see you. I see you. He loves you. He sees you right here in this moment. He loves you. Thank you for your boldness. You can open your eyes again. He's doing a good work. He's doing something miraculous. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. Verse 7. Verse 8. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of the land for good. For the land will again rejoice over you. Over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God. If you feel like you're not living in the blessing, if you feel like you're missing out on the fullness, ask the Holy Spirit today, Lord, is there a place where I stepped out of obedience to your voice? Is there a place where I've been walking in disobedience to you, to your word? He wants to bring you back into alignment because he wants you to live life to the full in the blessing and not the curse. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. As our kids, Maverick and Harper, kept asking over these last couple years, we want to be saved. We want to be saved. We want to be saved. What's that look like? What's that look like? And Steph and I, as parents, as we're navigating this and navigating some of these conversations, and we're kind of going back through our own lives and our own faith, and we're thinking, well, what did we do? What were all the things we did? And we kind of kept coming back to that. Well, you got to do all these things. You got to get baptized, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. And all of a sudden, in this season, the Lord led me to Romans 10. And I just want you to look with me. Look at Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. There's some of you in here today, you've kind of been making this list. And you've been thinking about all the things you do, all the things you've done to establish your own righteousness. God, look at me, look at me. Here's my resume. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look what I've done. And you've not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. Just like in Deuteronomy. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's so simple. It's so simple. And we just sat there with Maverick and Harper and we walked them through Romans 10 and we just said, do you believe this? Do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? And will you confess Jesus as Lord today? And what did they do? They said yes. And they said it with their mouth. They said, Jesus is Lord. And as you say it, as you speak it, it changes things and it shifts things in your heart, in your spirit. As you confess Jesus as Lord today, it will shift things in your spirit. And all of a sudden, your life will never look the same again. All those things I kept thinking, oh, they need to do this, and they need to do this, and they need to read this, and they need to... Just confess. Jesus is Lord. If that's you today, if you've never confessed it out loud, if you've never said it, if you've never spoken it, don't miss this chance today. Just say it. Here, we'll give you a chance right now. Church, we're going to say it together. We keep doing it over and over because guess what? There's power in unity and there's power in our words. There's power in tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue, it says in Proverbs 18:21. So as you speak it, it's going to change and shift things in your heart, in your spirit today. On the count of three, Jesus is Lord. Just say it. Somebody's going to say it for the very first time, but they're going to have the boldness to say it out loud because you're speaking it with them. As you speak this, it's going to shift and change things for somebody spiritually in this room, and their eternity and the rest of their life here on earth will never look the same. Take a step of boldness today and speak it. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. That's it. That's it. It was that simple. Confess Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. The devil can't put you to shame anymore. If you came in bound up, tied, chained to shame, if you felt like there were things that you could not let go, that you could not release today, the Lord Jesus wants to release you today, and that's what he's doing. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him today. Worship team, I want to invite you up as we get ready to close. The words you speak, they'll set you free, or they'll leave you bitter and in bondage the rest of your life. Zechariah 8, verse 12. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. Just as you were a curse among the nations, I will save you and you shall be a blessing. If he saved you, you're a blessing. You're not just blessed anymore. You're the blessing. Everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, you're a blessing. Everywhere the Lord takes you, you're the blessing. Why? Because you're a house of the living God. It says your body will be a temple of his Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. If you confess Jesus as Lord, if you submit your life to him, what happens? You become a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. You are no longer your own. Verse 16, these are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Speak the truth, even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't want to. Speak the truth today. Tell people who Jesus is. Tell people about the word. Tell people what he's done. Give judgment in your gates for truth and justice and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. Why? Don't let bitterness creep in. Don't let that root go bad. Because the Holy Spirit wants to produce his kind of fruit within you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Don't let the fruit go bad today. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath. For all these things I hate, says the Lord. When we sat with our kids back there in the office, I told them, my prayer is that you'll love the things the Lord loves and you'll hate the things he hates. Sometimes we forget, but there's things that the Lord hates. He hates sin. He hates darkness. He wants to drive it out. He doesn't want to drive you out. He wants to drive it out of your life. He wants to drive the darkness out of your life. You might be thinking, no, I'm gross. I'm dirty. You don't know what I've done. No. He loves you. He sent Jesus for you, and he wants to drive that darkness away from you. He's going to set you free today. In Jesus' name, I'm just believing, and you'll no longer be the curse, but you'll be the blessing. Everywhere you walk, people will be blessed because of who's inside of you. Yeah. Zechariah 8, verse 21, the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Keep seeking him. That's why we're having these revival nights. They're seek nights. They're a chance to come and seek him, to go deeper with him, to chase after him, to seek him. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. People are going to grab onto you this week. They're going to grab your sleeve. They're going to grab your arm, and they're going to say, I want what you got. There's something different about you. I want to go where you're going. I don't want to go the way I've been going anymore. People are going to grab onto you this week. They're going to step out of the dry land, and they're going to step in to the fullness of everything God's got for them. Zechariah 9, verse 11. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Whatever the enemy has stolen from you, whatever the curse you've been living under has taken from you, what's it say? When you repent, when you turn back to him, they'll be double restored to you. I'm believing that today for our house. For I have bent Judah my bow. I fitted the bow with Ephraim and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and made you like the sword of a mighty man. Then the Lord will be seen over all of them. His arrow will go forth like lightning. You're going forth like lightning this week. The Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with the whirlwinds from the south. The Lord of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones. They shall drink and roar as if with the wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins, like the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over his land. For how great is its goodness and how great its beauty. Grain shall make young men thrive, and new wine the young women. Let's pray. God, we just pray. We just seek you, Lord, in this moment. God, I pray that we would just slow down. Everything we're trying to rush to, everything we're trying to get to, everything we just keep trying to think over and over, I need to get to this next thing, that we would just slow down and submit to your voice in this moment, that we wouldn't miss what you want to do right here, right now. Father God, I just pray that as we worship, and I pray for this moment of baptism, that we would remember this is a holy moment, that this is sacred. Lord, that you're restoring and making all things new. So God, I pray for anyone in here that is struggling and wrestling with what does it look like to go deeper, to seek after you. That you would just give them boldness in this moment, that they wouldn't miss this moment, that they would take this time to step forward and step out of darkness and into light. To step out of death and into life. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. And we're going to worship. We're going to have some baptisms. Our ministry team is going to be up here also. And if that was you today, if you feel like, man, I'm sick and tired of living in the darkness and living in death, and I want to be free, this is a chance for you to do that today. The baptistry is set up. If you don't miss this today, if you feel like the Lord is prompting you and telling you, you need to submit to me today, if you need to confess me as Lord, don't miss this moment. That's what this is. It's a moment to just listen and submit to his voice, to step into obedience. And maybe this is your first step he wants you to take today. So I would just invite you in this moment to stand, to worship, to celebrate with those that are giving their lives to Jesus in this moment. And if you feel like the Lord is calling you and telling you it's your time to step in and submit, to give your life to me, then don't miss this moment. Come tell somebody on our ministry team up here near the front. Come find me. Come find one of our pastors. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a towel. We'll give you a shirt to change into after. We want to celebrate with you as you step out of darkness and into light. All right, let's worship.